Hello, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. You are listening to KVSHLP 101.9 in lovely Vashon, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'm going to be your host for 30 minutes today. So I hope you'll pull up a chair and pour yourself a cuppa and listen as we talk about some interesting things. Today's guests are here to help us understand and celebrate Passover and the celebration of spring, the Seder dinner, and some Vashon experiences that only they know about. Risa Stahl comes to Vashon by way of Brooklyn some time ago, where she was born and raised. Hi, Risa.
Hi, Linda.
And welcome. I'm glad you're here. Risa's family is still in Brooklyn. She has a lot of family in Brooklyn and Connecticut.
Most of them have moved to the Holy Land of Florida at this point.
Yeah. Well, good for them.
And I was mostly raised in New Jersey, so we took that big leap from
Brooklyn
to Jersey.
You did that big leap.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that. Well, welcome to Stirring the Pot. I'm glad you're here. And along with Risa, we have in the studio today Louise Dorfman Olson. And Louise hails from Chicago, where I hope I can say that you were known as the Golden Meyer of Chicago.
My grandmother, Sadie Perlman, was. Not me.
Not you. It was your grandmother. See?
My grandmother,
you
got to
correct me. That's good. I love that. And she has found friends and family on Vashon here after being here for 30 years. And Louise, maybe you can tell me about how that all came about for you.
I wanted to give my parents a gift. My mother had died, so my dad and Charlotte, my stepmother, and the best gift I thought I could give them was time to get to know their granddaughter.
Oh,
so when I had come from Montana, where my great-great-grandfather had started out from Russia, went to Tacoma, and then became a peddler, and then went to Montana. So I felt I was back to some of my heritage and roots.
Right.
So how I got to Vashon, a friend of mine said, you'd really love Vashon, and reasons why: the artistic community, intellectual community, creative, and not far from the city. And I was living in Santa Barbara by my dad at Charlotte at the time, and my dad belonged to the Reform Temple, and I was teaching at a little Chabad preschool. And because I could be Timmy's teacher there too. So when we were the first year, my dad wanted me to sit by him at services for the high holidays. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
So I went and I bought my little tickets. And then the next year I went again. But before I went in to talk to the secretary, they were playing Kol Nidre, beautiful melody that just sang to my heart, my soul. And so I went and talked to went in to see the secretary, and I said, I'd like to get two tickets for the high holidays. And she said, oh, I remember you. You're one of our charity cases. And I was like, oh my God, because I gave my $36 and most people gave thousands. And so when I knew I was moving here to Vashon, I looked and there was a Jewish transcript. And it said, Vashon Island, Havara. I called Pam Schubert, who's here today on Vashon, and she was so welcoming and so loving and said, we have a Havara, and please let me know when you arrive here so we can meet you. And the doors just opened wide.
And they were welcoming right away.
Very welcoming.
The whole community. You know, that's one of the things I've learned about Seder, is that it's a community event. It is Jewish in tradition and history. But it involves everybody. It can involve everyone. And Risa, can you tell me a little bit about where you hailed from and how you got here?
Oh, how I got to Vashon?
Well, we always like to know that.
Well, I had moved from Jersey to Seattle for grad school in 92 or so. I went to Bastyr when it was still the little tiny school up in the Latona School in Seattle. And then eventually I met my husband Eliyahu, and we after looking around at places, we wound up moving to Vashon.
Mm-hmm.
And my passion I got a master's degree in nutrition, and so my passion has always been food and feeding our people.
Excellent.
And taking care of our kids. So,
and being part of the community.
And being part of the community. Of the community. Right.
Yeah. Well, this year, oh, go ahead.
I'd like to say, and I think that's intrinsic in our DNA. In your
feeding
DNA.
People, yeah. Feeding people.
It is.
Jewish yeah. culture. Yeah.
I'm a Jewish mother. I like to feed
eat,
people.
Eat, yes. And those of us that's who like to eat really appreciate
Essen,
that, too.
Essen, Meinkin, Essen. That's what
Essen.
Essen? Okay, yeah. Essen. Well, so this year, Passover begins on Friday, April 19th, correct?
Yes.
And ends in the evening of the 27th. And it's my understanding that there's going to be a community Seder. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And then we're going to talk about Seder and the dinner. But right now I'd like to let Vashon know that they're welcome to come.
I could tell about that a little
sure.
bit. Saturday the 20th, gather at 4 o'clock at the Havara building down on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll start Seder at 4:30, and you may think that's early to start a dinner,
mm-hmm.
but actually there'll be time spent going through the rituals and the stories. So it'll be, and it should be fun. And there'll be 30, 40 or more people there.
People. That'll be so fun. I wish I could go, but I'm going to be out of town.
Yeah. Well, it will happen again next year. I'm
I'll
sure.
be there next year for sure.
That'll so, be lovely.
Louise, how do people, do they just come or should they call or what should they do?
We do have, Julie Shannon is one of our members who's helping to do a lot of the organizing.
Okay.
And her number is 206-353-4664. And people can always call me.
Okay.
206-817-5036.
We can repeat those at the end of the show so that if you didn't get to write them down. But now I want to talk about Seder dinner. And I see both of you have brought some really interesting things with you. And Risa brought a Seder plate.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you tell us about? This is a beautiful wooden mm-hmm. hand sculptured hand. What would you call it?
Well, it's hand carved.
And
this
carved.
Is
yeah,
this
thank
is
you.
An unusual Seder plate. Certainly not tradition. And I don't remember exactly where it came from, but I will say when Eliyahu and I got married in 1996 and we got some lovely gifts to create our Jewish home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got candlesticks, we got a Hanukkah menorah, we got a challah cover. And one of the few things we didn't get was a Seder plate. So we went kind of for years without having a Seder plate.
Really?
And then I was somewhere at a craft fair, not a Jewish event at all, and someone had these.
It's beautiful.
And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. It suits us. It's very Northwest.
I wonder, do you know what kind of wood it is?
I
don't. I certainly can't tell by looking.
No, I do not know what kind of wood it is. I really
don't. It's beautiful.
I
wish
wonder
you could
if
see
it's
it.
Some kind of maple or something. But I'll describe it. It's kind of intricately carved. Imagine a wooden plate about a half inch thick, and it's carved, and there's a beautiful Star of David in the middle, and 6 different circles with each of the elements of the Seder. And it's just decoratively carved, and it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
I love it.
And it's my understanding that you have, if you have 2 or 3 or 4 tables of people, that you have a Seder plate, hopefully, for every table?
Well, there's one representative, and then at our Seders every year, we've always had enough at the tables
mm-hmm.
at the Havara building.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this plate and what it represents and how that fits into the Seder dinner.
Well, it actually... So each one of these 6 circles here represents a different element of the Seder. And the Seder plate is for show. It kind of tells you what we're going to be doing. And I don't know if I could remember every single one.
No, you don't have to remember
I'm
every
not
single
remember
one.
Everyone,
but there are bitter herbs.
There's bitter herbs.
And that represents?
That represents kind of, you know, sort of the pain and suffering.
Yes.
Of slavery.
Of slavery, of hard times, just being living in a difficult world.
And is there, Louise, is there a significance in the order of, because Seder means order.
Seder means order, and I was just thinking now the plate is a great reminder because it tells us everything there is. And yes, there's a definite order. There's several parts to the order.
Okay. And it it all has, Seder dinner all has a spirit of hospitality around it, in that, what is it, that, do you know the saying about, let all who are hungry
come and be welcome here? And everyone is, in fact, when I was in Bozeman, Montana, living up the Gallatin Canyon, I put an ad in the paper. It was in like 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And I invited people to come. And everyone was a stranger, and they were all welcome. And it was just a magnificent sharing of cultures and stories.
How fabulous.
So everyone's, and we also have Elijah, who our door is left open, and we invite Elijah in.
And does Elijah have a place at the table as well?
Thank you for mentioning that. Yes.
Yes. There's an empty chair and sometimes an empty or a wine glass for
a
Elijah.
Filled wine glass.
Yes.
And sometimes the children look and it's like, when the Seder's over, the wine glass is empty.
Oh, he was here.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
And they missed him.
There's a point in the Seder where you actually get up and open the door for Elijah to come in. And, you know, the grandpa's like shaking the table, and, you know, or some
I bet
Elijah
the children love it.
The children love it. Yeah.
I bet they do. Mm-hmm. So, Louise, what did you bring with you today in the food realm?
Well,
you brought a lot of stuff, but let's talk about the food.
I brought some charoset. And it was interesting because I was making it the last minute this morning, and I used my Cuisinart. I'm like, this is not the right texture. It needs to have more crunch to it. So then I added it, but it's called charoset, and a lot of it is, I remember it by tasting it. Does this taste right? Does it have enough cinnamon? Does it need a little bit more walnuts? It's a combination of cinnamon, apples, walnuts, honey, which Risa said she didn't use. She doesn't use honey. And wine.
And it represents?
Charoset represents the mortar, the bricks that were used to, of slavery, that were used to help build the pyramids.
And it's, sometimes does it come like in a bar as well? Or is it always this texture?
It wouldn't come in a bar, but, I grew up with Ashkenaz charoset, which is like the Eastern European Jews, which is really diced small apples and raisins, walnuts, and wine.
So it's a Mediterranean.
No, that's more, I mean, I don't know if apples are, you know, East. I guess apples are Eastern European. So yeah, that's the Sephardic.
Okay,
the Sephardic
yeah.
is more of a pureed kind, and which I had no idea about. That style of charoset until I moved out here and met different people and actually found a recipe online for a totally different charoset that I really want to try.
And what is it?
Can I read you a recipe?
Sure. Of course you
I
can.
Love reading recipes. Okay, this is Spanish Sephardic charoset.
Oh.
And it'll have all the same components being fruit and nuts, but it's just different. This one is apples, pears, almonds, hazelnuts, walnuts, pistachios, which I've never heard before, dates, figs, raisins, cloves, ginger, cinnamon, lemon zest, and red wine. And I am going to make this one.
Are you going to make it this year?
I'm going to make
yes,
it this year.
Yes, it sounds delicious. We'll wait for a report after
right,
it's
right,
done.
Right.
Yeah. And Louise, you like to talk about history and family like we all like to, and I see that you brought a picture with you, and it's just a magnificent black and white people sitting at a long table, and I'd like you to tell me who those people are.
It's from my father's side of the family, and my father was probably around 4 years old, sitting on his lap, and next to him was his Zadie, his grandpa. And I had this picture for years, and I always thought it was a Rosh Hashanah picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out I was looking at it again with some friends, and I thought, wow, there's the matzah.
It's
a Passover Seder picture.
Yeah.
And it just... To me, it just represents generations of heritage, and it just makes me, and I thought it was something that I wish I would have done, and maybe people who are listening might want to do. I thought it when someone, when a baby's born, have a picture of their first Seder, and then for all the subsequent years, my dad lived
idea.
To be 91, you know, to have pictures for all those years.
And
of
do you have
Seder.
A lot of pictures of him at Seder?
No, this
no,
is it.
That's it. And he's a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a precious photograph.
Thank you. It's very special. And before, and he moved to Vashon. And before he died, I said, Dad, how about if we label the names of everybody in
good
the
idea.
Picture. So we sat down together and we were able to label everybody.
And from 1915, I think you said, or 18?
I think Risa said 1918.
So that's I like the idea of the tradition and the family and the history and the gathering, and it continues and it continues. And one of the things that you keep mentioning, and I mention as well, is matzah. And I would really like to talk about matzah ball soup. But first, I would like to thank our sponsors, or we won't get to stay here. Voice of Vashon programming support is provided by the Vashon Loop, Islanders' alternative newspaper, offering free news, information, arts, and entertainment from the people since 2001. It's your chance to get in the loop at VashonLoop.com. Thank you, Vashon Loop. So, let's talk about matzo ball soup. I know that many people have different ways of making it. Everyone's is the best. Everyone's is different. And you told me some things the other day about matzo balls themselves and how they're made. And sometimes they sink and sometimes they float.
We should say that too.
I'll take it here.
You want to take it there? Okay.
Well, you know what? We grew up with matzo balls that sank.
Oh, you did? Oh. Okay. Oh, dear. You should see the look on Louise's face.
You know, and I didn't know there was another way.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's, you know, Passover is very much about the family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And there also was food. So, and there certainly was food traditions. And, you know, when I've come out west and out here, have opened my eyes to a whole different way of seeing and eating matzo ball soup and different foods.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've never made matzo ball soup myself, which is kind of funny. And having become vegetarian a long time ago, it's like the chicken stock was out.
No, that's out.
So
yeah.
there's
which is a whole other subject.
Which is a whole other subject.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk about that too. And I hope we don't run out of time.
Yeah, but let's hear Louise's matzo ball story.
I have had a dear friend, Bubby Reba, and we were talking about matzo balls, and she said what she does, her trick is she puts the matzo meal that's already put together with the egg and the salt in the refrigerator overnight. And then I pan it together in a little, like a little bit more than a tablespoon of matzo meal in a circle, and then I put it into the boiling water. But I just don't use water. I use a stock for that too.
You do. And so did you always put it in the fridge?
No, I did not.
So this is a new trick. Well, maybe
well,
not new,
for
but,
me, being
yeah.
70 years old, probably about 30 years ago, I learned how to do it.
And it makes a difference.
It does make a difference. And it's easier to use too, because sometimes it's really sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of helps with that too.
So if I'm going to make matzo ball soup, what's the first thing that I need to know?
You need to know Bubby's recipe.
I knew you were going to say something about Bubby.
And she takes a whole chicken.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is actually not Bubby Reba's. This is another Bubby's.
Okay.
Charlotte, my stepmother's mother, she would use a whole chicken. And now I buy a kosher. They're not called kosher chickens, but they're organic.
Okay.
They're more expensive, but it's really great.
Oh, they're better.
I used a whole organic chicken. I don't separate it. A whole onion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was using the baby carrots that are all the different colors. And I was told by my friend Renee, no way. Those are not as good. They don't have the flavor. So I use several carrots and I use celery.
Okay.
But then at the very end, I freak out and I use better than bouillon.
Well, you know, better than bouillon has saved many lives and many gravies and many sauces. It really has.
I use the organic chicken one. And when they don't have that one, I have a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good. They usually have it. So you're making it. So that's your stock.
That's my stock. And my Grandma Sadie, would always have it perfectly clean and clear. And there would not be a drop of any vegetable or anything. It
so
would
does
just
that
be the
come-
broth. That was my grandma's. But then I moved west of the Mississippi. And everyone was like really into vegetables. And I thought, they're onto something here. So now I use all the vegetables.
Oh, good. Oh,
I sense a theme here of things different as we're moving west.
Definitely.
Isn't that interesting, too? You know, it really is. And I think One of the things we were talking about earlier is that some of the traditions are sort of changing and the storytelling mm-hmm. is kind of changing. I think you mentioned that when you're going around the table talking that some people, instead of reading, are
yes.
telling the story as opposed to reading.
Right. So we will, where the way we gather for Passover Seder, mm-hmm. whether it's just in our house with some friends or the big community Seder,
mm-hmm.
you know, we go through, for the most part, the order of the Seder. Although we do have, everyone has free rein to interrupt at some point with a poignant story or a question.
Okay.
But when we actually get to the point of telling the story of Passover, the story of Exodus, then we will put the books down and people start and just recite from memory their learnings, what they've brought in from their life, what they've felt or experienced, and tell the story without looking at the book. And that's kind of a fun, creative, sometimes lengthy way
sometimes lengthy,
to do
yeah.
it.
But it also creates a sense of intimacy when you're hearing
yeah.
something from a personal standpoint as opposed to something that was written
right.
by someone. Did you have something? You look like you were going to say something.
Last Saturday night, we had a Havdalah service, and there mm-hmm. was a rabbi who came with two of his musicians. And to introduce everybody, he had everyone say, was help us to prepare for Passover, for Pesach. What is their best remembrance of the Seder? And that was interesting too, because in one word, many people were able to say whether it was the fourth cup of wine. I remember Phil saying that. The Haggadah, the children's eyes lighting up,
mm-hmm.
memory. There were so many different things you might remember.
There was different things. There was community. There was, you know, Bubby's dessert. Or the kugel that somebody made, or, you know, a lot of different things.
Oh, kugel. Yes, kugel. That's a whole other thing, isn't it?
I know. That's when people used to eat butter.
Oh, well, some of us still do.
Some people still eat butter.
Yeah, some of us still do. Uh-huh. There are times when you have to have butter, and kugel is one of them.
The traditional kugel will have noodles in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is not okay for Passover.
No, we can't do it at Passover, but it just sounds good.
Talk about different things. I went to Thriftway,
mm-hmm.
and now there's organic matzah. There's gluten-free matzah.
there's
whole wheat matzah.
Wow, that's great. That's
salted,
really
unsalted matzah.
I was hoping there was an almond matzah for people who can't have
wheat. Well, that's be gluten-free.
I guess so.
Yeah, that would work. That would work. Well, so matzah balls, matzah ball soup, and kugel, and all those things bring to me an image of Bubby. Everybody needs a Bubby. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it is a Jewish grandmother. And we all need one. And I, Louise, you're a grandmother, aren't you?
Well, I'm an adopted grandma.
You're an adopted. Do you want to tell me about that? I'd
well,
love
my
to hear
daughter
the story.
Has two marsupials, but I don't think those count.
Well, they might.
Gliders. They're sugar gliders. Yes. Several years ago, there was a little boy that came with his mother for the Saturday morning services. And I fell in love with him and we connected.
Mm.
I hope his name is Bodhi. And I looked at the mom and I said, after knowing him for like 10 minutes, I said, we have to protect this little boy. Or I think people are going to come to Dhamsala and want him to be their next Buddha. And so I just fell in love with him,
mm-hmm.
and we would get together, and then one day his, this was like, 15 years ago? Many years, no, he's only 14 now, so he was like 6. And one day he was talking to his mom and dad and said that he wanted a grandma, and the father, whose mother was alive, said, you have a grandma? And Bodhi said, I want a Jewish grandma.
Oh.
And his mom said, I think what you want is a Bubby. And he said, I just don't want anybody to be my Bubby. Do you think Louise will be my Bubby?
Oh, I just love that story.
I still get teary-eyed when I think of it. And
you're still his Bubby.
Yeah, he called me up and I said, when he called me, I said, I have to talk to Timmy first. And Timmy said, Mommy, that would be wonderful.
Mm.
You want to be his Bubby. And so I said, I'm going to take this very seriously. And I've been able to go to some of his plays and has had his bar mitzvah.
That's wonderful.
And it's really, and his
yeah.
brother, I also was able to adopt his brother, Orion.
Oh.
So I have the two.
Well, that's grandsons. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I wish I had a bubby, but I don't.
I'll be your bubby.
Okay, you can be my bubby too. That'll be good.
We could all be bubbies together.
All that's one. Right.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how some of the traditions are changing. And maybe you could talk about the four questions a little bit, because we talked about the traditional four right. questions. And now in our modern day living, some sort of easy comparisons can be made to how we live now that translate into the four questions.
So in our modern day Vashon life, mm-hmm. we think about things differently. And, you know, and it's nice to, I think about these Jewish traditions, some of them are really models, and we need to look at them in today's world.
And whether so, you're Jewish or not.
Whether you're Jewish or not, you know, they're good questions to ask about slavery, liberation, where we're at as a people, as humans, as, you know, participants.
And then you community. Had some new questions that you were talking about earlier.
Yes, a couple of years ago. Well, actually, last year, my brother called and asked me if I had some questions that he could ask at a Seder that was coming, because the person giving the Seder wanted to have them come up with new questions. And so I interviewed lots of people, and I talked to our friend, Peter Rubin, and this is what he said. He wrote, questions on my mind this season. In what ways am I enslaved today? Physical, emotional, intellectual, economic, social? What are the ways in which I choose the safety of slavery over the risks of liberation? What brings me joy? Where do I begin?
Wow. We could all take just one of those questions and think about what is meaningful in that regard in a different way. What is a standard old question, just for comparison's sake?
Well, there's really only one question, but there's four answers.
There's four answers,
the
right.
The question is, why is this night different from all other nights? And that's the one question. But, you know, and the four answers are, you know, just pretty rote in the Haggadah. It's, you know, this night we recline. Mm-hmm. This night we dip our parsley in salt water, not only once, but twice.
What is the thing about the pillows?
Risha, you're doing great.
I don't know the tradition about the pillows and reclining at Seder dinner. Can I just ask you what that is?
Sure. Well, I don't know where it actually came from. I mean, it states in the Haggadah, part of the...
Why do we recline?
Is that we do recline on Passover. And I think it's part of the thrill of liberation.
Because you can relax.
We get to recline and we can relax.
Okay.
So yes, literally every seat at the table will have some sort of pillow for you to at least have an appearance of being more comfortable.
Right.
Okay. So speaking of being more comfortable, is there anything that guests would need to know if they're coming and have never been to a Seder dinner before?
They're welcome to come with an open heart and to bring a potluck if they're coming.
Well, sure. There will be a lot of food. Mm-hmm. There will be no shortage of food. That's for sure.
Usually the Seder lasts about an hour, hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
And children are welcome.
That.
I've been to a Seder where it started at sundown and went to 3 a.m.
We're not going to do that.
No.
do you have, is there a dress code? Is there any certain things people should wear?
It's Vashon.
It's Vashon. Yeah, it's Vashon. Right. Yeah. So it's similar to like Rosh Hashanah, and, you know, where I went to synagogue in the East Coast, people would get dressed up for that, you know, to go to shul, mm-hmm. to go to synagogue, but it's not the same. I mean, Passover, we do have a Seder at the synagogue or at the Havarah, but it's a holiday of in the home, mm-hmm. usually. So it's, you know, what you would do to be at home.
And we're running out of time, but I also, we just have 1 minute left.
No.
What do you want to say?
I want to say thank you for inviting us here, and I want to thank Risha for including me.
It was just so
30
fun.
30 minutes was not enough.
No, 30 minutes is never enough. You'll have to come back. Maybe we'll talk about Rosh Hashanah or something like that.
Oh, I'd love that.
Is there a Passover greeting that well, me as year, a Gentile, that I as a Gentile can say, I mean, do you?
We would say Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach, wishing you a good holiday, but also this year we can say Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Oh, mm-hmm. Because it's both.
It is very special that it's on both.
Okay. Can you explain that to listeners, what that means on both?
So, well, the first night of Passover falls at the same time Shabbat comes on mm-hmm. Friday night. So mm-hmm. we'll be lighting Shabbat candles as well as having a Seder on Friday night.
And it doesn't usually happen that way.
No, only so many.
It's kind of a momentous year, really, in the Christian Easter and yes. Russian Orthodox Easter and Passover.
It's Good Friday.
It's Good Friday. Yeah, right, it's all happening. Friday. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. It's pretty wonderful. So I would just like to thank both of you for coming and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and a few little laughs. It's just been great fun, and I hope that we can do it again. Will you come back?
Love to come back.
And it's Lahitraot till we meet again.
Thank you. Lahitraot.
It's good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming. And thank you for listening. And I'll see you again next week. I'm Linda Nygaard on Stirring the Pot, Voice of Vashon.